For those listening, this is just a fair warning that gun violence and medical issues are talked about on this podcast episode with two individuals that are openly sharing their emotional journey. So I just ask that you keep an open mind and open heart, and I hope that you enjoy.
All right, guys, if you're listening, thank you for taking the time to listen to another podcast episode of The Talking Block with your podcast host, Nate. I just appreciate you guys for listening, and today is a little special day because as we're talking about Black history, there's so much that comes in with it. And today we talk about Black love because when you think about it, Black history has been nothing but the love for the people and the love for the authenticity that Black people have. And I have two special guests with me, Marquise and Taylor, that are going to share their love story. And, you know, as they were telling me an unorthodox love story, which I found very interesting. And I do want to disclose this, that this is for anybody listening that has, you know, or is going through medical situations, or you know of somebody, or you were probably in that situation of 2018 with the Madden tournament shooting. These are very touching topics, let alone issues that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. I just want you guys to keep an open mind and keep an open heart and be able to understand where not only they are coming from, but others that are listening and others that have went through this. So without further ado, if they don't mind introducing themselves.
Hi, my name is Marquise Williams.
And my name is Taylor Poindexter Williams.
And we're a co-host of the You Stuck With Me podcast.
You stuck with us.
We're from Chicago. We're married. We're going on almost 2 years of marriage. And we've known each other since high school. We actually do have a funny and unorthodox love story.
How we came up with the title, You Stuck With Me, for the podcast is going back to when Marquise was going through treatments and we were sitting in this hospital room. And I told him he had to beat this illness because I'm not going anywhere. He's stuck with me.
And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all.
Oh, that is wonderful. Before we get started, I do want to put this out there that I think both of you, little quick tangent, you guys had posted, well, for those that don't know, we, follow this or were a part of this group on Facebook, and, they had posted a post saying that they were looking to join a podcast, and, I was just scrolling one day and I saw it, and, I saw the comments and people were in the comments saying, oh, I would love for you to join and I'd do this. And then da 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 da. And people were asking topics. People were asking if they could meet. And me being me, I'd automatically second guess. And I was like, never mind. People have already put comments in. And, you know, I don't want to mess up what they have going on. And it was weird because for 10 minutes, I went back and forth. I'm like, I probably should have put a comment out there at least. I probably should have said something. And then I'm like, no, it's okay. They already got somebody. And eventually I was like, you know what? No, this is what we're going to do. We're not even going to put a comment. We're just going to message them directly. And I did that. And to my surprise, I had asked you guys, what were you guys thinking about talking about? You guys told me that you, well, I sent you a link to listen to a couple of my podcasts. And then automatically, I think it was a day later, you had said, hey, Nate, we really liked your podcast. We like what you talk about and we'd love to join you. And what I'm trying to get with this is I honestly thank both of you because this topic is not something that anybody should take lightly. And for you to be able to trust me on a very small platform, a very small co-host, because there's so many other podcasts, many well-named podcast hosts that you could have went to, but you decided to join me. And I just really appreciate that. It's honestly a blessing. So I thank both of you for taking the time to join me today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yes. So as you guys said, we're talking about an unorthodox love story. And you briefly said that you guys had you guys met in high school. But I'm pretty sure the listeners are wondering, and I'm also wondering, exactly how did you guys meet? Was it like a best friend put you on, or you guys walked through the hall, saw each other? Like, what happened?
We have two separate recollections of that story, but they're both funny. Granted, now I know some who are listening to the story, after they listen to it, they might look at me funny, but you know, charge it to my heart, not my head. I said that backwards. Charges to my head, not my heart.
Yeah.
So, actually, we went to a small private high school in Chicago. And at that time, I was a senior and she was a freshman. And because we went to a small school, we shared classes together. So we shared gym together. This is her freshman year. So she was sitting on the bleachers talking to a friend who actually we grew up with. They got married. She just got married last year. And she's pointing. And me being me at the time, just silly and a naive senior, I just go under her t-shirt. I mean, not t-shirt, but her sleeve. And I'm like, that. You need to get rid of that. Now, I didn't see anything, but I was just being funny. And it went from there. Weeks later, I had the audacity and the gall to actually try to ask her out. And this is where we kind of diverged our stories. Not only did she never tell me no, she didn't even reply to my request. But I'm gonna let her take the story from there.
So all the way up to that part, that's where we differ. So what ended up really happening was Marquise did ask me out. I thought he was joking with me because, again, like he said, he was a senior. I was a freshman. So, you know, I'm like, he just trying to, you know, be funny. So I was out of school for a week because I was sick. But by the time I came back, I completely forgot that he even asked me out. So I always say to Marquise, if he really wanted an answer from me, how come he just never reminded me when he saw me again?
Again, high school.
Again, it's high school. But then years passed, and we actually reconnected back here in Chicago doing a Greek picnic. So he's a Sigma, and I'm a Zeta. So naturally, we're gonna run to each other. So we ran each other to this Chicago Greek picnic, and then the rest was history, as they say.
So from strangers to now 2 years of marriage, you said, correct?
Going into two years
of marriage.
So we started dating in 2017. No, 2017, yes.
Yeah.
So 2017, and then about a month later, I received a diagnosis of cancer. Mm. So after the diagnosis, she was with me every step of the way. I mean, if I asked for anything, she had me. She would come. She used to work at a job where she would work 12-hour shifts. There would be days where she would come home from her 12-hour shift and stay the night with me just to get up and do it all over again. Now, the blessing part about it was, besides her, is the hospital I was staying in, she was only blocks away, so it wasn't that long of a drive. But I knew she was tired, but I knew that she cared. And I thank God for this woman every day, because without her, I don't know where I would be.
Wow. It's funny that you brought this up, too. As I was, because I know that I did ask you a couple questions just to understand where you guys were coming from. And it was weird as I'm looking at what you've told me so far. And I'm glad that I can say this too. I think it's weird that God somehow ordered everything in a way for it to play out that it did, because you had told me something happened in 2017, and then something happened in 2018, and then something happened in 2019. And I'm just like, that is a weird consecutive sequence that probably didn't happen on purpose, but it just sort of happened. And to talk about it, 2017, you said you were diagnosed. In that time, did you guys have any emotional, physical drift, or did it bring you closer together? What happened in that time of learning of the diagnosis for you, and as for your wife, was there any kind of second guess to what could happen to us?
Well, me for starters, I was actually at work when I fell ill. Coincidentally enough, I was working at another hospital. And I actually received the official diagnosis 2 days before my 27th birthday. And I called her and told her, and She immediately was on her way. I believe you left work early, Bay, because you found when you found out, or did you stay the entire day?
I my shift was short that day, so I just came right after my shift was over with.
So she came after her shift was over with, and it had already been a tumultuous year for her because unfortunately she lost her mother and her grandmother months prior in the same year. So she felt some type of way about the entire thing because she didn't want to, I know she didn't want to lose another person. She told me repeatedly. She didn't know if she would make it if something would happen to me, but fortunately for God, for her and God's blessings that I'm still here, and I'm letting her tell her part of the story because it's very important.
Yeah, so as Marquise touched on, 2017, I say that's the year we, at first I used to call it as the year we don't speak of, but now I call it as a year of tribute trials and tribulations, right? So, January of 2017, I lost my grandmother, and then a few months after that, in May, my mother passed suddenly. So just navigating two deaths back to back like that, and also that was my immediate family too, it was hard. And then I do appreciate Marquise being there for me, 'cause for a while, so during that time period, me and Marquise hadn't talked for a while, and I just remember sending him this text message like, "Hey, I'm sorry, I haven't talked to you in a while, but my mom is in ICU." And next thing I know, he was like, "I'm on my way." Him and one of our other good friends too, they both came and they actually stayed with me all the way leading up to her passing, and then also about 2 or 3 months after that, just so I can get adjusted of, being here b by myself, 'cause I was staying with my mom by up to the time she was passing. So just navigating that mindset of, I lost my fan. I already lost two people that were close to my heart, and then now I'm in this brand new relationship. I found the guy that's for me, and now I got to go through another battle. That was a lot. And I remember calling my sister. I was telling her, I was like, I believe that I'm a strong woman, and God never give us too much that he feels like he can't handle. But I'm gonna let you know right now, if something happens to Marquise, I don't know if I'd be able to make it. And I'm not saying that to say that I was like thinking I was suicidal or anything like that, but like mentally, in a mental capacity, I just felt like if something happened to Marquise, mentally I would not be able to go on. Like I might need to settle down somewhere.
You bring it up so much, and I want to draw it in now. For the both of you, what in a time like this, especially for you, Taylor, what was the spiritual warfare like? What did you ever blame God himself, or did you kind of be like, hey, I understand that you're the miracle worker, you're the wondrous person that we call you, but why at this time, why such a time as now? Was there ever a moment in doubt to him or in doubt to yourself with your relationship to him?
I never doubted I never doubted that God didn't have a reason for it, but there was plenty of times where I asked God why this is going on, and or what is it that you're trying to teach me or show me through this.
What about you, Marquise?
At that time, it was more shock than anything because up until that point, a lot of people know this. Prior to the diagnosis, I was actually a contestant on Wheel of Fortune, and that was about a month prior. So you go from being on a nationally syndicated show to in the hospital before your birthday, and it's kind of like a fall from grace. You're living your life. You're this rambunctious 26, now 27-year-old who just goes out with his friends, works, doesn't get into any trouble. And it's just like, bam, you just hit a brick wall. And mentally it was hard to fathom, because never in your life you ever picture yourself being in the hospital fighting for your life around your birthday. So I really had to come to grips and grow up fast, and I really started to lean more on my beliefs, and I really started listening to, I really started focusing on God. My mom was telling me things because she's a big believer, and we started listening to a lot of music that got me through, scriptures that got me through. Scriptures that I still say and listen to this day, music that I still listen to this day. And even going forward, I started adding scriptures, started adding music, and it's been working for me. And I'm thankful for God for every day that He gave me, because I really feel like I have a second chance at life.
If you and if you don't mind me asking, kind of like one of my last questions touching on this topic, what does it look like now in this particular situation? Are you, if you don't mind sharing, are you guys going through, well, Marquise more so, are you going through treatment? Is it, are there, is there a better outcome now than there was 7 years ago?
Yes, this is a way better outcome now. Since that time, I have had a stem cell transplant. I've talked to my stem cell donor. That's a huge story. I'm doing a lot better. I'm able to go outside again. I'm able to travel. We've been married almost 2 years. Our honeymoon, we went out the country. So life is definitely looking better. I have no complaints. I'm getting into a new career, which is a real estate appraisal, and life looks very good for me. We've even begun talking about having children.
That is amazing. That's amazing. As we move along, so like I said, 2017 was a very trying time. And then the next year, something else happened. Do you guys want to touch on what happened the next year?
So during that time, after the diagnosis, which was September 7th, 2017, during that time, I picked up a new hobby, which is playing competitive Madden. Now, at that time, because of my immune system, I couldn't go out in public. So I just watched and learned a lot of things. And during that time, I come to find out that my wife is a Madden player too. So if your listeners are not familiar with Madden, it's a video game football, professional football, the NFL. So by the time the next year rolls around that same time, September 2018, my immune system is no longer compromised, so I can go out in public and be around other people, even travel. So our first professional tournament was in Jacksonville, Florida. So we go to the tournament and we're meeting people that we saw the previous year, getting to know everyone, and we're competing ourselves. So that tournament was supposed to be a 2-day event. So the first day is
Round robin.
a round robin style tournament when you play against everyone in your field. So if you do the best between those in your field, then you move on to the single elimination the next day. So myself and another gentleman, we made it to the next day. So unfortunately, I lost in my first game, but it was an experience. I learned what I needed to work on. So after that, we're walking through the event space. Now, this event space is a pizza. It's a pizza restaurant with an adjacent gaming lounge. So as we're walking through, we're sticking around so we can see who wins and who are the competitors we need to watch going on through the rest of the year. So she turns to me, says that she's hungry. So we leave that area and we go to the bar to order pizza. So as we're sitting there ordering pizza, we hear a pop, and all of a sudden it gets quiet and everybody's looking around. And initially we're thinking it's a balloon, but there are no balloons in the venue. So we, for a few seconds, go back to what we were doing, and all of a sudden we hear repeated pop, 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 and that's when we realize that it's a gun and somebody is shooting in the event space. So at the time, we were about 10 feet from the entrance of the restaurant. So we get down because we don't know where the bullets are coming from, and we start running for the exit. Even though we're one of the closest people to the exit, we're in the middle of the rush trying to get out. Mm-hmm. Now, at that point, I was between us, I was the first one to get out of it. So I look behind me. I hear her screaming my name, and I turn around. I'm thinking she's behind me, and she's not behind me, but I hear her, so I run back to get her. That's when she emerges from the doorway. So I take her by the arm, and we run to safety. Now, what we're running towards is an elevator, a great elevator. Mm-hmm. And it's locked down, and we can't get it to open, but one of the restaurant employees next door, there was a restaurant, another restaurant next door, opened the door, and we're screaming, help us, help us. Now, we didn't know that he did this because there was a language barrier or because he was afraid of himself, but he closes the door. And we started running towards the door, and one of the EA event runners for the tournament, he starts screaming. He says, come on, no, open the door. There's an open shooter running around. Mm-hmm. So he eventually lets us in. I guess he understood that part. And us three and some other people behind us rushed the door, and we hit in the bathroom, but we got down because the bathroom was attached to the wall of that was separated from the restaurant. Okay. So during that time, her ankle is injured, and I'm trying to make sure that I stay with her and stay. I'm looking for making sure that she's okay. Obviously, the ankle is swollen, but I just want to make sure that mentally, you know, she sees me, hears me, and that she's mentally there. So we sat there about 30 minutes to an hour before I ran out to see if we can get some help for her ankle or anybody else who's injured. Unfortunately, on the way back after finding a police officer, I asked him, was anybody killed? He tells me that three people are killed, including the shooter. The shooter turning the gun on himself.
That's very... It's interesting in a way. Like I said, as you were telling, when I'm asking these questions, when we were talking to each other, so I'm trying to gather information, in my head, I'm thinking, well, he's just been diagnosed. And now they have to go through a open shooting. It's mind-boggling the way that situation plays out. And my question to you guys is, in what ways did the shooting affect your relationship?
Ironically, it didn't separate us. I say it brought us together, closer together. And the best way I describe it is, and I always say it amongst our friends and family, that we went through to the death do us part through sickness and the health before we even said I do.
Wow.
I pretty much agree. We often say that, and we don't even get strange looks at it when we say that. People say, yeah, you did, pretty much. So
most definitely. I mean, that sums it up, really.
Yeah.
Kind of staying not too far away from this topic, but in that time, do you think that how do I put this question? Do you think that probably years before this, you would have been able to tell yourself such and such is going to happen in this time, and I'm going to have to stick by this person no matter what happens?
You know, it's funny that you ask that, because we've repeatedly had that conversation. What will we tell our past selves in high school, knowing the information that we have? And I honestly, knowing us at that time, we probably wouldn't have believed it.
Honestly, we would have been, my past self would have been like, stop playing with me.
Yeah, I think my past self would have been like, what? We're going to do what?
Wow. So we've gone from a diagnosis, overcame that, a shooting, overcame that, which now we're in 2019, 2020, and this is now affected the whole world. But we want to focus on you guys, the pandemic. My first question to you guys is, during the pandemic, in what ways did you guys creatively make a date night, or in what ways did you guys show each other appreciation?
Oof, 2020.
So we would have to backtrack a little bit to answer that question. So because of the results of the shooting in Jacksonville, at that time, my body was in remission. Mm-hmm. And because of the stress that that took on my body, the toll on it, leukemia came back.
Mm-hmm.
So during that time, my body was fighting and fighting and fighting, and the medicine wasn't working. So the next thing that the doctors were thinking was, I need to have a stem cell transplant, which is what they were trying to avoid. But come July of 2019, I had to have a stem cell transplant.
Mm-hmm.
So the stem cell transplant was successful. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. I was able to go home at the tail end of July. And she was with me the entire time. And at that time, because of stem cell transplant, it plays a role, it plays an effect on your body that I never thought would happen to me. So before the stem cell transplant, I was 247 pounds.
Mm.
By the time, 6 months later, after that transplant, I was down to 167.
Wow.
And then that's because of the effect of the stem cell transplant. The stem cells are trying to get adjusted to your body. Your body is trying to get adjusted to the stem cells. And as you know, at some points you're not yourself going through that physically, emotionally, right, mentally. It wasn't until after Christmas of 2019, I started to feel like myself again. I started eating again, started gaining weight, going outside doing things, because once again I had to stay inside because my immune system was compromised. Mm-hmm. Again, something that was taking a toll on our relationship. I know it drove her crazy, it drove my mom crazy, and it drove me crazy because it's like one thing after another, and I'm pretty sure that she was thinking the same thing. And as I did get to a point where I was able to go back outside and do things again, hang out with my friends, COVID-19. And so, because at the time I was living with my mother for recuperation purposes,
mm-hmm,
she kept a tight leash on me. She wouldn't let me go nowhere, be around nobody. And that part was difficult on our relationship because at the time she was working at a
hospital.
And because obviously there are sick people in the hospital, she didn't want me to become immune compromised and get even sicker after everything I had been through.
Right.
So, me and my mom would come to blows because I would want to see her and she's saying no, no, no. And then I'm hearing what she's saying. And then it didn't break us, but it definitely challenged us because we had to come up with ways that we could see each other and do things. And
so to answer the question, I would say that FaceTime was really instrumental in us communicating with each other. So what, mm-hmm, we would do is every night. So Marquise had this thing, and it's still a thing now, even though, of course, we live together and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Marquise has this thing that if he doesn't hear from me by a certain amount of time after I get off work,
mm-hmm,
he will call. As I say, send a search party after me. So I will work 12-hour shifts. I will rotate on weekdays and then every other weekend. So the latest I would get off, I would say like about 6:30. I'll start at 5:30, 6 o'clock, get off at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And so every night before I'll check in with him, like, hey, bae, I'm on my way home. At night, we'll just have, like, we'll call it bedtime date. So, any new show that was interesting to us, like this is when Disney Plus started coming around, and any Marvel movie and stuff like that, we'll just watch the Marvel movie or whatever show was on through FaceTime, and then that'll be our dates. When he was able periodically to come outside, or you know, able to drive himself to a doctor's appointment or something like that. I know his mom probably gonna be listening, but I mean, it is what it is now. He'll take a side trip to come to the house, come to my apartment, and you know, make it a mini date after that. Like, hey, come downstairs, I'm outside. Or if I was sick or something like that, he'll drive up, pull and park in front of the apartment, and he'll beep the horn, and we'll just be on the phone, just talking to each other from the window, you know, stuff like that.
Because the beautiful thing about it was, once for a long time I couldn't drive my car. I think it was probably about 6 months to a year I couldn't drive. But once I was able to drive again, her house was on the way to my doctor's appointment. So what I would do is, before my doctor's appointment, I would stop by and I would honk the horn, and she'll see me, I'll see her, we'll be on the phone, and then I'll go to my doctor's appointment, and then on my way back, I would do the same thing. So that, in a way, that did make us feel close together. It's kind of like, okay, you've been through this part already, now you can do this, you know, you're getting closer.
And then also, of course, when we mentioned before, we're gamers, so of course we'll talk to each other online through the game.
Yeah.
Wow. Was there, a little funny question, was there ever any shows that somebody watched before the other person was able to watch them?
Yes.
And I was bad at watching them, and then
he would be bad watching them before I would get to him, and it would turn into this argument.
Which is a beautiful thing. After almost 5 years of dating and almost 2 years of marriage, we rarely argue.
Mm. Wow. I mean, what is there to argue about now? Y'all done did it all.
Right.
Yeah. But even after all of that, every now and then, there will be a disagreement that will turn into a full-fledged argument.
Hey, it happens. It happens. Wow. I do want to ask this question, mainly because we know that you've been married for 2 years, but when exactly did y'all get married? So that there's a little lineup for the listeners to understand. This was when we were dating. This is when we were married.
Okay, so we actually got, to start off, we actually got engaged in 2020, October 10, 2020, and we got married July 16th of 2022.
Wow. So, yeah. Makes sense, because you all went through this, so now it's like, we gotta seal the deal. We done did this all. Time to get married.
Yeah, and the way to us getting married, at least on my end, is a story in itself. On her end, it's more entertaining. But on my end, it was more of a what I want to do with my life type of deal.
Gotcha. He was kind of like saying, hey, laying down what you wanted for your future.
Exactly.
I had already told Marquise that he was going to be my boyfriend, my husband, and the father of my children.
So far, she's 2 for 3.
when we got together. So that's what he's alluding to.
And every time we have that discussion, I say, you were right, wife. So, as far as our engagement goes, up until that point, that's when COVID started to lighten up. So, by that time, I guess my mom got sick of us trying to figure out ways to see each other. So she came up with the idea for an outdoor picnic. Mm-hmm. So we did an outdoor picnic, and it was great because it was August. It was right before her birthday. The sun was shining. It was beautiful, and I was able to take a board. The company that set up the picnic allowed me to leave a message for her that she didn't know about. Mm-hmm. So it said, the start of forever. And she spent the entire picnic trying to figure it out, never did. So I'm going to let her tell the rest of the story, because it's very entertaining.
So to give a quick summary about it, Marquise set up this picnic for my birthday, and it was a sign that says the beginning forever. So the way that the picnic was set up, I thought he was going to try to propose then. The way the whole thing set up was an engagement picnic. And of course, you know, we're going to post pictures on Facebook and everything like that. So my cousins, my family members, they was like, where is it? And they talking about a ring. I'm like, he didn't propose. And then, you know, they got on him about that. Like, you don't create this big production like this and then they'll produce a ring. Right. So then later on in October of 2020, when he decided that we was going to have a photo shoot, because I told him we need to take more pictures together now since he's well and could be outside and everything like that. We just need more pictures together. So to make a long story short, he surprised me with a photo shoot and got down on one knee on a rooftop of an apartment complex overlooking Lake Michigan. And I'm just like in shock because I'm like, Are you serious? Are you serious right now? Ugly cry, everything.
Wow. Yeah. So it's like, it's basically how y'all started. You know, are you serious? And now, hey, I'm serious. So that's amazing. 2017, just to recap, we learned your diagnosis. 2018, we learned about the shooting. 2019, the pandemic, kind of resolving and wrapping it up. Just a couple more questions. Through your experience, what have you learned as individuals and now as a couple?
Ooh, that's a good question.
What I've learned personally is that if you have someone who is willing to go through everything with you, that's the person for you, because it's very, very rare in this life where you find somebody who's willing to carry your baggage with you and do it with grace, do it with no complaints or very little complaints. And after something is all said and done, they look at you and say, what's next? Because I'm ready for the next thing. And I thank God for this woman because she rode with me through everything. She continues to motivate me when I feel like I can't motivate myself. She gives me great ideas that I never considered. She sees things that I don't see, and I appreciate that. And she makes my life easier, and because of that and everything that she's done, I just want to give her the world. She doesn't ask for anything extravagant. She just asks for the simple things, and I say, you know what? You deserve more than the simple things. I'm going to give you everything because you've given me everything. And part of this relationship is giving me a lot, which is why my favorite Bible scripture is Ephesians 5:31. He who finds a wife finds a good thing.
That is absolutely correct.
I mean, how am I supposed to top that? But no, individually, I've learned that through this time period, it's okay to be vulnerable with the person you love and care about. All through my lifetime leading up before Marquise, I always had to be the one that was like the rock, the foundation, or what I tell Marquise, the superwoman. And I learned that it's okay not to be all these things for everybody. It's okay just to be that person for the one that you truly love and care about. So I do, one thing I appreciate and I thank God for with Marquise is that he's patient with me. Because again, I mean, I'll be honest that some men out there wouldn't have the patience for a woman like me who's been through trauma, right? So I'm very appreciative that he just saw that I went through this and he was like, okay, how can I help support you through this? Mm-hmm. That's number one as an individual. And number two, I wouldn't say I learned as an individual, but I was reminded. So one thing that my mom and my grandmother instilled in me was this saying that God got us. Mm-hmm. So my grandmother, she unfortunately, she lost her children before she passed. She had four daughters. My mom was her youngest, and she lost three of her children before she passed. And even though through those times of turmoil or feel like hopelessness, stuff like that, she always had this smile on her face saying that God got her. And the same with my mom, when her mother passed, my grandmother passed, she always reminded herself that God got her. Now, growing up, I never understood what that meant until now. So just, even though times that I felt like, you know, how are we going to get through this? Or God, please don't take Marquise away from me and stuff like that. He still has me. And as a couple, I learned that we some strong people.
Heck yeah.
You know, one of our friends said that our relationship is unique. And I sat there and thought about it. Ironically enough, you know, I was thinking like, no, our relationship isn't that unique. But I think at that time, we were just moving from one thing to the next. And then one day I just happened to sit down and really think about it. And I said, you know what? Our relationship is unique, very unique.
Yes,
and so when, you know, some of our friends or people around us say, you guys are couple goals. No, we're not.
No, we don't consider ourselves couple goals. We don't consider ourselves experts.
Or anything like
that. Anything like that when it comes to relationships. We always say that we appreciate the compliment, but we always say strive for a relationship that tailors to the couple, not to what you see other couples do. Now, we would never, ever in a million years, you know, hope that another couple goes through what we went through.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, we didn't even want to go through what we went through. Right? So we always say that just the foundation of what worked for us was communication and faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mix that in with grace and compassion.
Grace and compassion and, you know, just remembering where we came from to now is just like this marriage thing. We're wigging it, but you know, we're making it through.
And you stuck with me.
And he stuck, and you're stuck with me.
You guys kind of wiggled. What was that?
No, go ahead.
You guys kind of wiggled into my second to last question. What is some advice for those who are going through similar, possibly more, or less troubles that you guys went through?
You can do it.
It is possible, and you can do it. Now, and I'm gonna share this advice too, because it was told to the both of us. When you in a relationship or you in a situationship or whatever you want to call it with this person that you care about, the only thing that we say is keep going until you feel like you exhausted everything. So, like, for example, with Marquise with the diagnosis, with me, I didn't stop supporting him because I felt like that I still had a lot to give.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I didn't use up everything. I didn't use up all my resources. And also I'm a person who likes to think forward. So I just always saw him as the man being healed as I saw him at that picnic.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I say this with any relationship, don't give up. And if you have to give up, I would say that if you have to give up, make sure you use everything to the point that you feel like you have nothing else to give.
And I will also say this. Because of everything that we see on social media, please don't fall into the hype of social media. Men are this and women are this. That's not true. And we are examples of that. Millennials do get married. Black men do marry. Black women do marry. We do have families. We do raise families. That's one of our goals. We want to make sure that we show people that what you see on social media, what you see on TV, is fake and it's a facade. If you see somebody and it's a relationship that inspires you, I say follow it, because there were relationships along the way that inspired us. It's worth fighting for. It's definitely worth fighting for.
Yeah. My last question to you guys is, and if you don't mind being a little open with it, what is the, now that you've went through so much, what's the next step? What's the goals for the future, long term or short term?
Family.
Gotcha.
Professionally, we would like for our podcast and our message to grow.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like there are people and couples and soon to be couples who haven't heard our message, but need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to continue to inspire more Black couples, and not just Black couples, but you know, couples all over the world who feel like they can't find their person. And we want to say, no, this is our story, and we want to encourage you just to keep going.
Just overall, just continue to live life authentically and purposefully while continuing to share our story in hopes it will inspire others.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, from 2017 to you, Marquise, finding out about his diagnosis, 18, the shooting, 19, the pandemic, to now, you guys are almost two years of marriage. Wow. An unorthodox love story that I don't think there's any better title for it. And it honestly shows the true passion that you have for each other, but you also have for yourselves to keep up with such a unfathomable but yet true life. And I thank you guys for sharing. I thank you guys for being open. I thank you for being you and allowing yourself to go through what it was that you went through to be able to be here now and share this on my podcast at that. And I honestly can't say that this could have went better. And I just, again, I thank you guys so much. To make sure you guys go listen to their podcast, You Stuck With Me, where can they listen?
You can listen on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe and share. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on YouTube. We just got our YouTube channel.
Well, you guys go tune in to You Stuck With Me with Marquise and Taylor Williams. Guys, I thank you and I appreciate you guys so much. Is there anything else that you guys want to say?
You can follow us individually on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. My handle is mine, M1NE_1. That's for both of them.
And you can find me on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter under Queen Points. That is the word queen, of course, and points, that is POnTZ. Again, that is POnTZ. And Nate, you stuck with us too now.
Yeah.
We shared our story with you. And we're big fans of the podcast, so you're stuck with us too.
Thank you. Well, guys, I thank you for taking the time to listen. Thank you guys for the listeners for listening. And make sure, like I said, you go tune into You Stuck With Me with Marquise and Taylor. I just honestly, again, I thank you guys. This is honestly a blessing because, like I said, there's so many other podcasts you guys could have went to. There's so many other people that I'm pretty sure are well-known on that group that you could have turned to. But you guys were open and shared with me truthfully how you went through an unorthodox love story. And I just can't thank you and how much of a blessing this is. This is your podcast host, Nate. This is The Talking Block. We were listening to Marquise and Taylor's unorthodox love story. And I just thank you guys for listening. And I thank Marquise and Taylor for joining us. I will see you guys next time. Thank you.